Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We've been having an exciting study here about the things that are coming. And we just praise you, Lord, for your mercy upon your people, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing us with this word today, Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with the Faction Election War 1, and this is number 11. And we're going to start out with a revelation and share quite a few revelations with you, exciting revelations. This one is given to Eve Brast on 12/31/20, and we called it, "Our King Leads the Attack on Corrupt Church and State." You got it. All right. And she said, "I was meditating on a dream the Lord had given me back on 11/11/16 that David had reshared on 1/30/20 broadcast of President-elect David as a parallel of President-elect Trump." And, of course, she goes on to say, "In that dream, President-elect David, as a type of the man-child David's, appeared before the waiting news media when they were expecting Donald Trump to come and accept the presidency." And the meaning there is a parallel between the state and the church, the new leadership for the state and the church. There was a parallel, you know, the David man child in the spirit realm as being leader of the people of God, and Donald Trump is the political and physical leader of the people of God. So, and this means that the king anointing for the David man-child body is very soon likely, because they believe that they're going to revert back to the original constitutional time for this swearing-in thing. We'll see whether that happens or not. But at any rate, it all looks pretty quick. Sometimes things are slower than what we think. But there's lots of things going on at the same time, obviously. And of course, in this parallel, they were expecting Donald Trump to come, and the David came. And it was obvious that, as she goes on to say, that David was pointing with his arm to each individual Secret Service angel and commanding them to go throughout Washington, D.C. and gather up all the wicked government leaders and send them packing. And this is in parallel to what the Lord will be doing through President Trump in this second term. Yes, it is. And it is said by people supposedly in the know that what I just read was 80%, oh my gosh, of the government leadership is corrupt. And we've learned that Epstein is alive. And I actually said that back when they fake killed him. I said, "I bet he's still alive." I told other people that too. But now they're saying that he is alive. And, of course, he knows a lot of them personally, along with the Hollywood elites and the financial and industry moguls who they wanted to corrupt and bring into their web. And they, of course, used him and his honey trap to do this. So Eve said, "I went to bed asking the Lord to show me more about this dream and what he was," in other words, this parallel dream, "and what he was currently doing. And he gave me this dream And this is 12:31:20 that she received this dream. I dreamed that it was dark, and I was in the midst of a massive army of warriors. Suddenly, I was taken in the spirit high up into the air, overlooking the whole battle scene. There was a very high stone wall of an old city to my right, and over to my left, up on a hill, was a giant king being carried on a palanquin with a golden throne and a golden crown on his head. So this giant king is approaching this high stone wall. That reminds me of a couple of things. Babylon and apostate Jerusalem. Okay, that wall. Okay, as we go on, that might make more sense. I knew this was our king, and all of his warriors were dressed in ancient leather battle gear. They all had spears or swords to fight with. The warriors were all large and muscular and very fierce. And she puts in parenthesis, King Jesus and his mighty warrior angels. Yes, amen. my part in this is that I believe that the battle has a foregone conclusion because it's already written in the Bible. Because God said history must repeat. So all we got to do is find the same parallel in the Bible and we know what's going to happen. Well, Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10 says, that which hath been is that which shall be. And that which hath been done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been long ago in the ages which are before us. Now, sometimes God does say he's going to do a new thing, but it's new to the people of that time. It's not new to history. It's already happened. Okay, we'll come across this a little bit later, too. Okay? So here is this mighty king leading his mighty warriors against the enemy. And she says, as I looked over at the king, he was driving the warriors forward with his arm and pointing towards the stone wall of the city. He was commanding them to attack in a deep voice that seemed to reverberate throughout the battlefield. In other words, his voice shook the earth. Have you heard that before? Yep. And it will. The scene changed, and I found myself inside one of the structures inside the city. That's inside the city that the Lord was coming against, right? I was in a crowd at a party watching two homosexual men dancing together. Okay. The thought that came to me was that this represents the leadership of the state and the church in spiritual fornication with each other, as Revelation 17 shows, the harlot riding the beast, right? Now, we haven't gotten to that part of history, but it's always true, you know. One of the men was dressed like a woman with a blonde wig on his head. Well, as we have seen, she says, America is Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, it is. And it is so full of this garbage. So, and of course, we deserve the same end. We're not going to come to that end now. God has given us a little bit of time, but ultimately we will come to that end. In the dream, I knew that these two men were going to die in the attack on the city by our king and his warrior forces. Yes. This is an abomination to the Lord, and let's just apply it to the government and the church leadership. It's an abomination to the Lord, okay? So, as the Lord has shown, he will orchestrate the whole battle. He will use the Babylonish deep state, leftist, communist, antichrist forces to bring down the apostate leadership of the people of God, just the way Babylon conquered Zedekiah and his cabinet and the leadership of spiritual apostate Jerusalem, which was the head of Israel at that time. And let me say this, in a spiritual way, Babylon has conquered the northern 10 apostate tribes who worship the golden calf, because if you're not worshiping the Lord, you're worshiping the beast. If you're not for me, you're against me, and against means anti-Christ. I'm so sorry that so much of the Christian religion is anti-Christ, okay, and the Lord is too. He's going to do something about it. Anyway, as Babylon conquered them by sword, famine, pestilence, and fire, so modern Babylon is doing this today. Then God will cause Cyrus Trump to conquer the Babylonish deep state, leftist, communist, antichrist forces, and revival and restoration breaks out. How do we know that? We know it from history. We know it from the types and shadows. Both factions of church and state will be conquered by our king and his David man-child. Read Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 35. It's the story of that. Okay? And read Joel 2. You see what I was just talking about a moment ago. He is going to conquer all the way up to Jerusalem. And when they come against Jerusalem, the Lord is going to smite the northern army who flees and is driven into the sea, spiritually speaking, and then a revival breaks out. An awesome revival breaks out. Read Joel chapter 2. And then he said, I woke up. She said, I asked the Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on Micah 3 and 7. In context, 5 through 12. Micah 3, 5 through 12. We'll start on this. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err. Now, let me say, there is a prophet leadership of the church, which is, of course, making his people to err. And they're on the political side, the physical side, the mainstream media is their prophet. And that is, of course, making the people to err, too, parallel, you know. Great destruction comes when people speak slander. It drives people crazy because they're imparting demons through witchcraft. And as you know, the witches are allied with the deep state in order to do this. They are making war against the Christians, and the Christians don't know it by and large. Anyway, so I'm going to read this again. It says, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. Yes, of course, they want you to be peaceful while they make war against you, biting with their teeth. And cry peace, and whoso putteth not into their mouths, they prepare war against him. This is their very nature. The nature of the communists that are trying to overthrow this country, along with communist China, helping them and empowering and bribing and so on and so forth. Their nature is not to give in to anything or not to believe or accept anything. You know, it's not democracy to them. They don't care what the majority of people, they will cheat them out of it and so on and so forth. These are criminals. And they make war against those. They've been doing it, and I guess people are too stupid to know this. It's been happening. I don't know what you think they're spraying from the air again, but that's what they're doing. Thank God we're immune, right? Praise God. So, in the church, you know, the division between the competitive denominations who should be one according to Jesus' command and according to his prayer, they should be one. Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And they have rebelled ever since, making their own cliques or sects. And as you know, a sect, a division, or a strife is a work of the flesh, as Paul said in Galatians. Therefore, it shall be night unto you. Darkness has overcome the church. It is so dark. It's no understanding, no power from God, no understanding that they don't even reflect what the Bible shows is the church of God. A child can read the New Testament and tell you something is wrong, but the great theologians can't. Therefore, it shall be night unto you, that you shall have no vision. It's so true. They don't have vision. They don't have dream. You know, even in the natural, they don't have these things, and they don't believe in them. And none of the faction believes in them either. And it shall be dark unto you that you shall not divine. Yes, their prophecy preachers are in total confusion. You know, they can't predict anything. And the sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. And the seers shall be put to shame, and the diviners confounded. Yes, because everything they've ever done has been a lie. You know, we've seen many wonderful signs of the coming of the Lord, and we're still seeing them, and they're awesome. And the Lord just keeps reminding us of that. None of these turned out to be the timing, of course, of when it physically happens, but the signs are true. And he's given us these like prophecies to point out that, hey, it's going to happen. This is going to happen. And here's the sequence of events and so on and so forth. We know the sequence of events pretty good by the grace of God. So their diviners are confounded. Their prophecy teachers don't know what's going on. I remember way back when the late great Planet Earth came out. There were so many people read that. It even brought a lot of people into the kingdom, you know. They thought, uh-oh, it's about to happen, you know. Of course, none of it ever happened, but that was one of those mind prophecy things, you know, not a prophecy that comes from the Lord, not a word from the Lord, not like a dream from the Lord, or these words that we get from the Lord, you know. It's all in the mind. Well, when you're not filled with the Spirit, that's what you lean on, is the mind, right? And they believe each other. And that's a big mistake. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But as for me, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression. I would suggest that this is probably Micah standing in place of the man-child ministry, who is going to stand up and do exactly what Jesus did when he stood up and spoke, right? To declare unto Jacob his transgression. Jesus did it, and he's going to do it again. Are you talking about him physically? No, I'm not talking about him physically coming. I'm talking about him coming the way he said he was going to come first, in his people. And to Israel, his sin, yes, he's going to declare, like Jesus did, unto Jacob his transgression and unto Israel his sin. Well, notice this. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel that abhor justice and pervert all equity. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's terrible. And the Lord is going to set things right. In these days, the evil political leadership and the evil spiritual leadership were one and the same. Think about Israel. Their political leadership and their spiritual leadership were the same. And if applied to today, the evil political leadership over God's people and the evil spiritual leadership will be conquered in this text. See the text that she got here. Look what it's speaking about. You know, in those days, that's the way it was. If you was talking about the falling away of both their political and their spiritual leadership. Look out there. That's what's happening. Verse 10, they build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Yeah, Zion, Jerusalem was the apostate leadership over the people of God, like Zedekiah, whom the Babylonians took captive to Babylon, which has happened today. They're all captive to the Babylonish harlot. They're all members of the Babylonish harlot. They've been taken captive by Babylon. Their churches are more worldly than they are spiritual, by far. So you see that captivity. The apostates don't even attempt to make the scriptures their rule. You know, they pledge allegiance to the flag, for goodness sake. How far astray have we gone here? The flag, whether you know it or not, has been ruled by Satanists from the top for many, many years. How can you pledge allegiance to something like that? We are one holy nation, as Peter spoke it, and he's talking about worldwide. We are one holy nation together. We are not a part of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world, as we're told. Don't pledge allegiance to anything. Don't pledge allegiance even to God. He said, don't do it. Don't pledge, because you haven't got the power to turn one hair of your head white or black. That's why he said, don't do it. Well, going on, off of that rabbit trail. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. Well, they're all on salaries, you know. Contrary to Jesus' command, freely you have received, freely give. Have they not become hirelings? Of course. And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yes, they do. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? Hey, we're the people of God. Right? No evil shall come upon us. How dark they are. How lacking understanding they are. Judgment is coming. I know everybody thinks that they're going to escape this, but they're not. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. Ooh, that's going to be a shock. They all thought they were the people of God. Boom. And Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Now, of course, you understand, if you followed me this far, you know that we're not talking about natural Jerusalem over there, which is Antichrist too. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual Jerusalem, the kingdom of God on earth, and how the leadership, which was Jerusalem, went so far, far astray from God and rebelled against God, just like the Zedekiah leadership did of old when the Babylonians came in and conquered them. And have they been conquered? Oh, yes. I mean, there are physical things coming, too, to the apostate leadership of God's people. First thing he's got to do is remove them, like he removed Saul and his people out of the way before David, the man-child ministry, could come in. And he is going to do it. Isaiah 40 and 10 says, "Behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one." Sounds a lot like Eve's dream here, right? "And his arm will rule for him." He was moving his troops with his arm. Did you notice that? "Behold, his reward is with him." That is for those who have walked in with him and walked in his word. "His reward is with him, and his recompense before him." You notice he had this wall in front of him, which represented the enemy city, which they thought they could withhold or withstand him, and they cannot. His recompense is before him. Isaiah 62 and 11. "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh." God's going to come and save his people from this wicked faction in the world and in the church. "Behold, his reward is with him." Yes, it is. How powerful, how awesome. His reward is with him. "And his recompense before him." There it is again, his recompense. Well, what is this recompense that comes before him? It's the battle that we just read about, and the great shaking that appears throughout Scripture when the Lord comes in his man-child body and overthrows kingdoms. After David's anointing to rule, he conquered the Edomites, the faction against his people. Whether it be in the church or the state, it's a faction against his people. He conquered them. And yet we see that the Lord is the one that's doing this. Well, why is that? Because the Lord is coming in the David man-child ministry, as he said in John chapter 16, that he was going to come again as a little baby born to a woman, and it would be a man-child. And when we read through the scriptures, we find him in Revelation chapter 12. Everybody thinks that's Jesus coming. That's people who know nothing but the letter. John was told, "Come up hither, I will show you the things that will come to pass hereafter." So it was after John's time in the future that all of this is talking about. Okay. So David, when he came to the throne, he conquered the Edomites. He put his troops in their cities, kept them under control. Haggai 2:20 through 23, talking about this recompense. What is this recompense? This great shaking. "And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah." Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was the first fruits to come out and lead the people out of Babylon to start rebuilding the kingdom, which had been torn down by Babylon because the people turned to apostasy. Now we need the kingdom rebuilt because the people have turned to apostasy. So you see, God is speaking to us here, saying, "I will shake the heavens and the earth." The word of the Lord came, and the Lord said to Zerubbabel, "I will shake the heavens and the earth." Well, we're told by Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, 26 through 29, "whose voice then shook the earth." Sounds just like Eve's word there, right? "But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not only the earth only, but also the heaven." Ooh, the Lord is going to shake everything. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Ooh, God's going to shake everything that's not His kingdom. He's going to overthrow kingdoms. Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Just remember when the fires come, and watch and see where they come and on whom they come, and you will understand what God does not like. Right? And it is also stated in Haggai 2, 6 and 7, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Talking about the same thing here. Yet once more. Okay, keep in mind, it happened before. He's going to do it again. And he said, and I will shake all nations, and all nations. And the precious things, I wasn't in the original, the precious of all nations shall come. And I believe that speaks of the Lord, because then he says, and I will fill this house with glory. What glory? The glory of the Lord. He's going to fill the real house with the glory of the Lord, says the Lord of hosts. So what is this shaking that we have expected? It's throughout history it's been written about, spoken about, and now our government says it doesn't exist. They're liars. And this will be the Nemesis star system that's due after 3,600 years to come through again. It's going to shake everything. So back to our Haggai 2 text, verse 22. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Who's going to do this? The Lord. And when is he going to do this? With the great shaking. His voice is going to shake the earth. And I will overthrow the chariots. Kind of like with Pharaoh. We've been talking about this for quite a while. God's applied the situation with Pharaoh to the fall of Babylon, who is conquered by Cyrus. He's used the same terminology, overthrow the chariots, you know. So this is what's coming. And what were the chariots doing, by the way? Chasing God's people? Trying to kill God's people? Okay. In other words, they're going to meet with the same results. And those that ride in them, taking down those in the chariots, and the horses and their riders shall come down, just like at the Red Sea. There's one little thing added here that didn't happen at that time, but God is applying another parable to this too. He said, every one by the sword of his brother. That's the Jehoshaphat scenario, where they once again were coming against the people of God with three mighty armies, much bigger than little Israel. And God turned them against one another, and they slaughtered each other before they even got to take down the bride, which was Jerusalem at that time, slaughtered each other. Is this what's happening when they take these people in and they start telling their story and they say, look, we'll let you live if you just tell the rest of the story about who's who and all this? And they do, and they all, of course, slaughter one another. and they're not finished. There's no loyalty among a bunch of thieves, liars, and fornicators. So they're all selfish, total selfish. So they are. They've been starting at the bottom, but I understand they're about to start at the top and meet in the middle, maybe. I don't know. But they started at the bottom to get a lot of information on these people. And, of course, they all ratted on one another, and they're still doing it. 23, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, meaning born from Babylon, in other words, the first fruits leadership to come out of the Babylonish harlot and lead the people to rebuild the kingdom of God in the promised land. That's the man-child's ministry. My servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet. A signet, of course, is like a ring of authority and a sign. A sign. He's a sign, and he also has authority. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Yes. Yes, yes. Mordecai in the story of Esther, he was given a signet too, a sign of authority, and he began to exercise it to destroy Haman and the butchers with him. Yeah, how cool. The Lord has this all figured out. And it's not just one repeat of history. It's so many things that he brings in prophetically to show us what he's about to do. Oh, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you. The comment I made about the star system coming, there are people who have predicted it anywhere from spring to early summer. And these people do have some access to telescopes and things like that. I'm not predicting when it's going to happen, but I do think it may be along in that range somewhere. So we'll wait and see, but we can look out there and we can see the signs. The earthquakes have gone through the roof. Jillions of them. Three major clusters of earthquakes in just the recent few days. Amazing. And, of course, the volcanic activity and so on is happening. And this is actually when we said this was probably going to start happening because the star system is coming, right? So then, just the other day, Lakeisha Watson sent this to me. We called it Nemesis Star System. She received this dream on 12/21/20. She said, I had a dream about a mini sun with what looked like five or six even smaller planets orbiting it. Mm-hmm. Well, one of those orbiting planets has been called Planet X or Nibiru, and it's the one that passes historically closest to Earth. And does a lot of damage. Not that the whole system passing through the middle of our solar system is not going to do a lot of damage. It will, and especially upset the sun, which you really don't want the sun to be upset if you're just on little planet Earth floating around out here, very, very dependent upon the sun. So you see, lots of destruction can come in a lot of ways, okay? The Egyptians looked up in the sky and they wrote their history and they called that planet the Destroyer. They saw it overhead and they wrote about it. I shared a program on this, reading their history books. And when the firstborn of Egypt died and Israel had Passover, and left through the Red Sea to the wilderness tribulation, guess what was overhead? Guess what they were passing through here? Could God use physical things to bring to pass what we see in the Bible? Of course he can, and he did. Does he need to do that? No, he does that because wicked man still has to have a way to explain things away. So God hides himself, as the Bible says. He doesn't need anything to do anything. Nothing physical to do anything physical. But the fact is, he uses the physical to chasten his people quite often and to judge the enemy quite often. So, Lakeisha went on to say, it was passing the left side of the sun super fast. This is one reason they can't really predict this thing very good. It speeds up and slows down historically. And especially when it is going around a planet or a star like our sun, it speeds up as it goes around. It comes around very fast. And they can't predict its speed or the exact day or probably even the exact month. But they've tried. They've done their best to calibrate this. And people inside the government have leaked out that they believe it's coming faster than these other people are predicting. I don't know. They have the best telescopes and all. I don't know. When it comes exactly, I don't know. But I do know that the Lord is going to shake heaven and earth and overthrow kingdoms. So super fast, she said. And it was on her right side, so she must have been turned looking in that direction. We saw it from the earth, and what felt like 30 minutes passed by, and it wreaked havoc on the earth. Yes, from the time it comes around the backside of the sun, it's going to start doing that, not only through the sun, but because of the huge magnetism that this star system has and Planet X has. Huge magnetism. They say we will have a Earth tide, which is literally, you know, like a tide from the moon. If the moon can cause that much with water in a tide, what could Planet X do? Not only with the water, but with the land. Because the moon has an Earth tide too. It's just less noticeable. But when Planet X passes and the Earth is turning and it's facing it, everywhere it's turning and facing it, it is ripping its mantle, trying to slide the mantle on the church. On the Earth, excuse me. Yeah, on the church too. So, wow, that's something. And I've also read that it will grab the South Pole and pull it towards it, which is pulling it actually towards the sun too. So you've got the lower hemisphere pointing towards the sun and the upper hemisphere pointing out into space. So there's a time of darkness. And then, of course, it passes between, it passes across Earth's path and does quite a bit of damage. And she says, I particularly remember massive cracks and the ripping of the land. Yes. Houses were being completely uprooted. And that could have been a spiritual thing she's watching because, spiritually speaking, many houses will be uprooted. Many, many kingdoms will be uprooted. Be torn to pieces. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's what we're told. And the things that can't be shaken is what we need to have. That is a kingdom of God. He said it would not be shaken. So therefore, he's telling us, get there quickly. Live in the kingdom. And she said some type of weird purple and black spherical objects were appearing, then exploding, like bombs. To me, it looked like floating spheres of car oil, but more purple. Well, reading some of the history, people tell me that's exactly what happened. And, of course, Lakeisha didn't know that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read Isaiah 64, 1 through 3 here. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. That thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence. Now, this is something that's quite often spoken about, at the presence of the Lord. Shaking, great shaking, earthquakes, mountains moving, so on. And when fire, as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil. Yes, that too. To make thy name known to thine adversaries. Good time for the fear of God. Too bad Pharaoh didn't take the hint, but he went right into the Red Sea. For goodness sake, how stupid can you get? Here's God's people, and God's with them, and God's protecting them, and he's parted the Red Sea, and you're going to follow him through there? You know, that's the stupid demons to the max right there. And he's just telling you how stupid they're going to be nowadays, too. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for. Do you know, there's an awful lot of planet Earth that doesn't know this thing's even coming. They've done a good job of kicking it out of any kind of news media and any kind, you know, making it, you know, speaking against it. They looked not for. Thou camest down, the mountains quaked at thy presence. You know, in the end time scenarios, the beast conquers the factious and apostates, but he can't touch the bride, who is righteous Jerusalem, not wicked Jerusalem, righteous Jerusalem. That's the bride, who are protected and blessed, like the Sennacherib scenario. When he came up to Jerusalem, he had already conquered the northern 10 tribes, and he was coming to do the same to Jerusalem and bragging about it through his emissary. And, of course, God smote them. 185,000 of them died, and they decided discretion is the better part of valor, and they left. And Joel chapter 2, the northern army scenario, same thing. They came up to Jerusalem, and the people of God cried out. The bride cried out. The groom cried out. Yeah. And God smote that northern army. And that's where the revival and the restoration of all things came to God's people. Oh, my goodness. Well, also in the text, we have mentioned that the Lord comes to make war on the factions to save his bride. Isaiah 62, 11 through 63 and 3. I'll read it. I quoted just a part of it a while ago. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion. The daughter, of course, is born of original Zion, right? We have a born-again people of God today who are seen by God as spiritual Zion, or the bride. It's not the church. Read Song of Solomon. You'll see that God never, in all of the parables, Psalm 45, same thing. Esther, same thing. The bride is never the church. The bride is taken out of the church because they are particularly holy. Okay? And God loves the beauty of holiness. Right? Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. And his reward. So who is the salvation? It's the Lord, right? His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He's coming to save his bride from the evil factions. and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Yes, they have been redeemed from the slaughter, from the curse, from on and on. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken, meaning at one time they were forsaken. You remember when God's people fell away, the city was forsaken because the Babylonians came and took them captive. And that's why the city was apostate. Okay. A city not forsaken. 63 and 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Bozrah was, of course, the sheepfold of the Edomites. That's what Bozrah means, sheepfold. The factions in state and church destroyed by the Lord, as Eve's dream shows. Okay. This that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength, and I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was no man with me. Well, in other words, the Lord alone is taking credit for this. You know, all vessels are his. Every vessel is his. If you read Romans chapter 9 and believe it, you find that the vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor, he rules over them. Whatever a person decides they want to be, it doesn't matter. He'll use them. But he alone is going to receive the credit for this. Yea, I trod them in mine anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. And this, of course, was the Lord slaughtering the factions that were attacking God's people. He's coming. He's coming with a shaking. He's going to shake the whole earth. And, you know, when we received Eve's revelation here, we had just received, someone sent us a prophecy by a man called Kent Christmas. Yep, that's his name, Kent Christmas. So I'm going to share with you a prophecy of the judgment of the wicked and the glory and the blessing of the bride. I'm not sure whether Kent believes the church is the bride or not, but in the prophecy it spoke of the bride. And I know that, you know, the church believes that they're all the bride and they're all going to fly away and they're all going to be wrong. And when they see all of these things happening, they're going to know their leaders are wrong too. Because obviously they didn't escape the beast and they didn't escape the great judgments and wrath that's going to flow through there. They didn't. So when we looked at Kent's prophecy concerning this, it was much like Eve's dream. Okay, Terry McGinley transcribed it for us. Nice of her. She transcribes a lot of our books and things too. She does quite a good job. So I clipped off just a little bit of the top small talk here. Kent says, a few weeks ago, actually about 3 weeks ago, I had not heard from God, and I assumed that I would just come and preach, and probably about a week ago, I began to feel God speak to me, and I went to prayer, and God began to download the word of the Lord in me, and the bulk of what I'm going to give you tonight, I received in about an hour and a half in my prayer time, walking around the park. Okay. And I began to write down what I heard God saying to us. I'm thankful that God is not silent. I pray tonight that the Spirit of the Lord would get inside of you and encourage you by the power of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word tonight. Now, Lord, I stand before thee as thy servant, and God, I humbly, Lord, am honored to be able to release your word. Now, God, I see you in the heavens, stepping out of the throne room as a lion, that God is beginning to pace through the earth. And tonight, Lord, I believe that you, as the Lion of Judah, will roar in the midst of thy people. Actually, he's going to roar out of Zion. That's the bride. His voice is going to be heard out of Zion, which is the bride. That God, even right now, in the atmosphere of the world that is partying so, Lord, is there a celebration in heaven for that which is being released by the power of God? So, Lord, let your word go forth as a sword. Let it begin to sever the very intent of the enemy. And that God, when we wake up in the morning, we will begin to know that thy word is being fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe we are beginning a very exciting time, I should say. I should say terrible and great. Great and terrible time. Many things are going to change now. God is in the process of overthrowing the Satanists. And thank God for his mercy and grace. We don't deserve it. And so Kent went on to say, when I came to the church the first time, I washed my disciples' feet. Just Jesus speaking, obviously. I washed my disciples' feet to teach them humility and to release the heart of the servant among them. Now, in this hour, I'm raising up men and women who are willing to wash my feet, says the Lord. For as you do so, the Lord will loose a cleansing in the earth. I allowed the church to be shut down for a season because I am retooling and I am now bringing forth a new thing. There's a new thing I was talking about. It's new to us. It's not new to history. But it is new to us. I am also, saith God, removing unto my church. For there have been Achans in my house who have stole my glory that belonged to me, and they buried it in their own flesh, in other words, underneath the tent, as Achan did, the Babylonish garment and the wedge of gold, you know, things that draw men, you know, for their own profit. And I am now removing that Achan spirit from the house of the Lord. I had gifts and anointings that I have held back, that I am now going to release to men who have walked in humility and have possessed a heart of a servant. I am now going to remove darkness from the nations for a season. We've told you about how that God has told us he's going to give us a little time before the beast starts making war on the saints in the middle of the tribulation period. How shall Jacob stand? He is small. That's what was spoken to Amos, right? It's true, the church doesn't know enough to be able to cooperate with God through their own crucifixion. Okay, so God's giving us a little season here. He went on to say, the light that will remove the darkness of satanic power is the glory of the Lord. To the men and women who were wise virgins that put value on my presence, I am now dispatching angels with fire in their hands to come to the earth and to light the lamps of my remnant. Yes, as you know, half of the virgins had oil in their lamps, and they would be there and prepared when the Lord called them. Now, I will just make this little point that the virgins are not the bride, never were the bride. They were the bridesmaids. Their job was to escort the bride and groom to the groom's home, which is in heaven. That was their job. Jesus always stuck with the bridal ceremony that was known to everyone around him. So, back to Kent. This light, which is my glory, cannot be put out by a man, but it will continue to get brighter until I call my bride home, says God. Yes, that's true. The brightness of the bride. And not only that, the bride's job is to bring that brightness to the virgins, the queens, and the concubines. That's right. Like in Song of Solomon. They were represented her little sister. And she had to grow up her little sister so that she was ready to meet the king. You understand? Back to Kent here. So to those who did not give up on me, but have stood on my word in this battle that have been fought in this nation, I am now going to take your seed of faith, and I am going to breathe on it as I breathed on Adam, my son. As I begin to breathe on the seed of faith that is in you, it will very quickly become a great harvest. Oh, yes, we've been getting ready for this for a long time, slaving away, getting ready for the harvest, our little part in the harvest, right? And thank God it is going to happen. And this shaking has everything to do with causing it to happen. And he went on to say, both in the natural and in the spirit realm, saith God, know this, my faithful sons and daughters, I am now coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Yes, the Lord repeats this a little bit later here, not in this prophecy, but in another one I'm going to share. I'm now coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Get prepared, right? For the next 4 years, what you're going to see me do will be so powerful and miraculous that you will forget the pain and the sorrow that you have gone through from the battles of the past. Doesn't Isaiah say the exact same thing to the bride? Right? He talks about the joy that's going to come to the bride and how that the beast won't pass through the bride anymore. And other prophets said the same thing, you know. Praise be to God. This last outpouring of my glory will be filled with the faith of Abraham, the praise of David, the purpose of Elijah, and the favor of Job, and the protection of Esther, and the boldness of Peter, and the revelation given to John. Yeah. This final outpouring of my glory in the earth will be indescribable and indefinable. Everything that I'm going to do, this generation has not seen up until this time. This is true. It's going to be awesome. We've never seen anything like it. It's over and above all that we can ask or think, you know. In the next 4 years, I'm going to touch every nation on the earth. When my glory is released from my Father in heaven, it will not just start in one nation, but it will be released at the same time all over the earth. And then, of course, as we have seen, he's going to shake the nations, every nation. So that what? So that the kingdom of God would survive and the kingdom of men would crumble. Right? Yes. Just when you believe that you understand this last great move of God, I will shift and I will change. I am now releasing the fullness of all that I have done in the earth at one time. To some, they will see me as the Lion of Judah. To others, they will see a lamb. Yeah, it's true. One moment, it will look like a revival, healing of sickness and disease. Yet the next moment, it will look like the outpouring on the day of Pentecost. This will not be controlled by man, and it will not be ended by man, which has happened so often in the past. Men decided they knew more than God, and revivals ceased, right? Each one of them ceased that way. Invaded by man's ideas, man going astray instead of letting the Spirit do. I am now becoming all things to all men. To one I will be a blessing, but to the other I will be a curse. No longer will the counterfeit church profit for who I am. For I have stood in silence and watched my name be profited for sin and for ungodliness. But know this, saith the Lord, I will lift my hand off of every house that barred me from their door, that would not let me be moved in the midst of my people, but only used my name for their own profit and their own moving forth in their own visions. But now this last release of God's glory is being initiated by Almighty Father in heaven. For the Father is now preparing the bride for his Son, Jesus Christ. This day, saith God, I release a dowry as the Father of Jesus unto his bride. And that which has been precious to me, I now release to you. For the bride will not marry the master without having possessions of her home. And this is the His reward is with him. His reward is with him. What he has prepared for those that love him. Yes. If people only knew. Because the bride will be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Can you see a church out there like that? No, you can't. Are individuals coming in? Yes. Yes. It was that way with Jesus. Individuals came out of the denominations and followed him. And John looked at him and looked at them and said, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. It was the come-outers. They came out of the apostate denominations. That was the bride. And the Esther was chosen to go out of the house of the women to the house of the king. And the women that were not pleasing to the Lord went to the king and went back to the house of the women. Yep. So this bride will be without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And he goes on to say, the men and women that God is going to use will not have sin in their lives. I will uncover those that have crouched their sin and have covered it and have moved in gifts. Yes, gifts are given to the carnal people of God, and they're quite often used. But I want to tell you, gifts don't get you into heaven. It is fruit that gets you into heaven. You can have plenty of gifts and split hell wide open. And he goes on to say, this move is not about the gifts in men's lives, but it's all about the righteousness and the relationship of God Almighty. True. For demons are not moved by gifts, but demons are moved by holiness, says the Lord. Yes, they are. They recognize holiness. And they also know people who have gifts but don't have holiness, and they laugh at them. And this move is a move of holiness and not of gifts. These men will not seek their own glory, and they will not fail. The great moves of God in past decades have declined and come to an end because many of the people that God used who started in the Spirit and ended in the flesh. For though they were humble in the beginning, they could not handle the glory and the honor that came with it. Not this time, says the Lord of hosts. The men and women that I am now raising up, I have invested years in preparing them for this time. Many of them have thought that I have forgotten them, saith the Lord, but I have not. I refuse to use old wineskins who are not able to flow in the Spirit. There are many ministries that, though they have been profitable, I am moving away from them because they have become brittle and could not change. Couldn't move with the Spirit. To the men and women in whom I have put in the fire of testing and purifying for years because you have remained faithful to me, in the next 4 years you will accomplish more than you have accomplished in your lifetime. This nation has taken the old and the wise and the gray-headed and stuck them on a shelf, and they have replaced them with young men who have not been through the fire. Yes, they've never been through the wilderness like Moses. They didn't know the way. Moses was chosen because he knew the way. He had been there, done that. I make a covenant promise to you, saith the Lord, that I am reaching back into the house of God, and I am touching the Joshuas and the Calebs and the hoary heads, saith God, who have been put on the sidelines. But I did not retire you, says the Lord. They retired you, and you are not done until I say that you are done. I know, says the Lord, that you who are the remnant have suffered greatly over the years for me and my vision to be fulfilled in the earth. I now make a covenant to you that the reward that I have for you in the world to come is so great that if I showed it to you right now, you would not be able to comprehend what I have set aside for you. Well, I know that this is true. It is so true. What mankind is now entering into, I call harvest, because that which every man has sown, he is going to start reaping. For many, it will be devastating and grievous. They will lose all that they have. But for the faithful, it will be joy and laughter. Isaiah pretty well points this out for the bride after she's gone through her tribulation, her crucifixion, so on. Yeah. It will be joy and laughter. The days of tears are over for the remnant, and the days of sorrow have come to an end for the house of God. You see, let me say, who is the house of God? Those in whom God lives. It's not everybody out there. And we become members of the house of God as we become vessels of God himself. So Kent goes on to say, for I am getting ready to move in the house of the Lord, and there is no longer a sound of death, but there is a sound of victory. There is a shout, says the Lord, that's being released in the house of God. Amen. Get ready, says God, for no longer will your harps hang upon the willow trees. Get them off, says God, for there is a new song that is now being released in the spirit realm. And when this song is played, says God, it will touch the unchurched and the unsaved. And they will say, what is this that we hear? And God will say, it is the sound of David, for I am now raising up the tabernacle of David, says the Lord. And the seed of David will be lifted up in the midst of praise. For many, it will be a time of joy, but for others, it will be a time of sorrow. It is now time, says the Lord, for all men to begin to reap what they have sown. Know this, that today the court of heaven has set down to declare heaven's final judgment on this dispensation called grace. The gavel has been raised, and the will of man's Creator, who is God, shall now be accomplished in the earth as it is already in heaven. So now the next sovereign action of God is that I have ordered an angel, says the Lord, to the earth to begin removing the spirit of heaviness from the bride of Jesus Christ. Yes, Isaiah spoke of that too. And to give the garments of praise to the saints of the Most High. There are walls, as there were in Jericho, that many have looked at and said they cannot be penetrated. Sounds just like Eve's revelation. The big wall, right? The Father pointing his arm towards the big wall, sending the troops, right? But I say unto you that there are no walls that hell has raised up in this nation that I'm not going to be able to tear down. There are no barriers that will be able to withstand my glory, my power, for my purpose is now going to come to pass in the earth. For the righteous that I am going to use in this last harvest, I am now binding the spirit of death, that it will not touch them, and the death rate among my people will decline, but among the wicked the death rate will increase. Yes, we've talked about that too. In 2020, you saw and watched and heard the wicked try to enforce their evil plans on this nation. They have sat in the back rooms, hidden, while they have formulated the devastation and the end of what I have declared. But I say unto thee at the end tonight that it is over, and that as 2021 is birthed in the Spirit, now you will see the Almighty shut quickly the mouth of the Satans, as this world has tried to shut the mouth of the church. I now shut the mouth of the wicked, saith the Lord. A truth will prevail. Just as I told Daniel, hallelujah, that after 21 days thy prayer has been heard, saith the Lord, and the answer is on the way. So now I declare unto you that at the midnight hour, when 2021 comes into being, that I, the Lord, saith unto thee that the prayers that have come up out of this nation are now being received by the hand of the Almighty. And I, thy God, saith unto thee that this night heaven is empty of angels, because I am loosing them to the earth. And the wicked who have thought that they were wiser than God, the agnostics and the atheists that said, no, no, I in a moment, saith the Lord, will end your rule and end your reign. For I am not done, saith the Lord. I am not done, saith the Lord. But I am getting warmed up, saith God. Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man those things that I have prepared for the righteous. So shall, saith the Lord, I give you authority, saith God, over the diseases of this nation. For even as you begin to release the power of the word of the Lord, so will I back thee up. No longer will your prayers be empty, no longer will there be a delay. But while you are speaking them, saith God, I will send the answer before it ever gets out of thy mouth. I, the Lord, saith God, have waited for such a time as this. I, the Lord, thy God, am still God. I rule in the heavens, I rule in the earth, and I say, the Lord will triumph for thee in this hour, saith God. Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Amen. The first becomes the last, and the last becomes the first. Even now, says the Lord, I am taking deeds and property. I am giving them unto the servants, for there will not be debt on this last move of God, because I refuse, saith the Lord, to have banks finance what heaven births. But what I birth, saith God, I will also finance. Been telling y'all that for years, right? Is this not an hour where the wealth of the wicked is being released unto the righteous? Debts are being canceled. I also, saith the Lord, to you, tithers that have given sacrificially. Okay, I'll just give you a little editor's note here. Yes, even those who have given sacrificially under the law can have it returned to them by God's grace. And I will share a little bit more about this later. No longer am I just going to rebuke the devourer, but I am going to open the windows of heaven, saith God. I am going to cause men to give unto your bosom. I see, saith the Lord, homes being paid off for the righteous. I see, saith God, that you will take the wealth of the sinner, and it is being transferred into the kingdom of the Lord. Well, I don't know if he knows about that or not, but yep, that's the plan. And in this move, saith God, one of the very first things that I am going to do is that I am going after your unsaved children of the righteous. And the first wave of harvest, saith the Lord, that's coming to the house of God is I'm going to get your children. I'm going to get your babies. I'm going to get your kids. I'm going to loose them from the drugs. I'm going to loose them from perversion. I'm going to heal their spirits and what professors and what teachers have taught them. Oh boy, that's a good deliverance there. I never wanted mine to go sit and listen to these perverts in what they call higher education. But I will cause them in a moment to say, lies, lies, lies. Oh, good. And saith the God, and the word of the Lord that was put in them as a child shall be released, and they will come home because I am on your side, says the Lord, or says God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Also, this is a year of increase, says the Lord. No longer will righteous houses be empty. But God says, I'm going to fill up your churches. He said righteous houses, right? I'm going to fill up your buildings. Hallelujah. In this hour, says the Lord, what the press will remember and what the world will remember is not sports and not Hollywood. It does not matter, saith God, what they say they will do. I say it's over and they will never recover, saith God, and I will fill their auditoriums and I will fill their arenas with my praise. That's awesome. Where they have praised men, now they're going to praise me. And what they built for men, they found out they built for me. And where I've had to let the world finance my kingdom, now, saith God, I'm reversing it, and I'm going to let the world have to give unto the kingdom of God the wealth of the earth. For the glory of God shall be released, saith the Lord. Yes, I don't know if he physically knows about those things that are coming, but that's some of it right there. I want to encourage you that God does not lie. God does not lie. Boy, I feel the authority of the Holy Ghost, and he speaks in tongues there. I speak to Washington, D.C. in the name of Jesus. Every wicked plan, every evil man, I bind you in the name of the Lord, and I rip the cover off of you. God says, I have holy men now. There's a spirit of boldness in the Holy Ghost. Don't back down. Don't apologize. No, don't be ashamed, for the shame will kill your power, but the gospel will loose you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, I loose your word upon your people. that it will not return unto you void, but it shall prosper and accomplish that which you have declared tonight, saith God. Okay, now I'll give you that editor's note. Permit me an important rabbit trail. This is not condemnation. But we need to always remember what Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians 13:9-10. It says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." Prophecy in part? What is that? Well, it's very simply part us and part God. Sometimes our doctrine gets into the prophecy. That's why tongues bypass the mind. It's praying to God in a pure language that is not infected with your thinking or your doctrines, right? So when Jesus came, he spoke perfect prophecy. He says, when that which is perfect is come, right? And now he is coming again in the man-child body and then in his people. Then our doctrine will line up with his and our prophecy will be mature. Jesus rebuked the apostates that they had obeyed their law of the tithe, but disobeyed more important parts of the law. Jesus said tithing was of the law. Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Notice who he's rebuking here, the people that were under the law. He's not leading his people under the law. He's rebuking those that were under the law, which they had to obey and follow up until this change of covenant, right? "For you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law." So you see, tithing was of the law. Jesus said so. And the weightier matters were justice and mercy and faith. "But these you ought to have done." He is speaking in the past tense. He is not saying that tithing should go into the new covenant. He is speaking in the past tense. They were under the law, therefore they had to keep the law. "These you ought to have done, and not to have left the others undone." Jesus said here that tithing was of the law. He spoke of the law of tithe as past tense because he superseded that law by making us all stewards of 100%, saying in Luke 14:33, "So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." So you're not 90% owner anymore in the New Testament. Those who put us under the law are not obeying it to make themselves rich. Under the law, 11 tribes gave 10% to the Levites, who gave 10% of that 11, which was one part of that, to the high priesthood. This left the Levites, or ministers, with an average of what all of the rest of the people of the tribes lived on. So therefore, the ministers did not get richer and richer and richer than everybody. So the pastors who live under the law should live on an average of what all those people who give to them live on. That's the law. That's the law of the tithe. Not thousands of people tithing to one man. This is very destructive, not only to that man's life. You go and look and you will see I'm right every time on this. It's also destructive to the people because they too are throwing their money down a rat hole. Okay. Okay, moving on. This is a a warning of Joe Biden, Andrew Galinas. Got this on January the 2nd, 2021. He said, I saw Joe Biden in a large warehouse-like building wearing a blue hard hat. Well, the blue hats represent the UN, which is very much taken over by the deep state and very well represents Biden, right? And a hard hat is a protection for the head from injury. So keep that in mind as we go on. He was observing a number of large automated industrial machines at work. He lingered over one for a little while and then walked over to another. After examining several of them, he climbed into a very small opening on one of the machines and laid down. Sounds like he trapped himself, and he has, they know, he's behind a lot of other people, this vote lie, right? I watched in astonishment as the fast-moving robotic components continued their steady-paced work without seizing up, despite Biden being crammed in like a sponge in a thimble. I watched, hoping and expecting him to be destroyed politically. But he only took a little bump on his blue hard hat as one of the moving components flew past his body. That's interesting. I would say that this is probably a warning that unless we pray and do warfare, he could come through this not getting what he and his elite bosses so richly deserve. And there is a rumor, by the way, that Biden has stepped down due to all of the revelations of his lawbreaking. Well, if this is so, this dream could be showing a deal cut in which he gets off easier than he should. Anyway, time will tell. So then Andrew said, I also dreamt earlier in the night that a small group of what seemed like Biden supporters were singing some sort of little jingle on TV. In it, I perceived the lyrics to be something like, uh-oh, you've almost run out of time. Unquote. We still have a few days, so I'm continuing with UBM to pray against Biden's fraudulent victory. Yes, of course. And we pray all speed to the Trump administration in making their case for the fraud, of course. You know, when God gives warnings like this, it's not a prophecy that he wants to come to pass. He gives this so that we will pray so that it doesn't come to pass in that way, right? So pray, saints, pray. Do warfare. You know, you have the authority. You who have the faith have the authority, which is a very small part of the church because most of the church doesn't even know what faith is. And then Andrew also sent this, called it a sting in a huge tree. And this happened somewhere in December 2020. At first, I thought this dream was probably just a bit of under-digested potato. But after hearing the word sting so frequently being used lately regarding President Trump and the stolen election, I thought it wouldn't hurt to send this one to you. Well, it is true that President Trump did lure over and over many leftists into sting operations in which they were caught with their hands in the cookie jar. I mean, literally, he said you can't convict somebody for something they haven't done yet, so he opened a door, a possibility for them to do their dirty work. Even this election thing was a sting. And, of course, they've gotten caught now, and so we'll see. And Andrew goes on to say, in this very short dream, I am standing out on the limb of an extremely large and tall tree. I believe this is the huge tree in Daniel, representing Babylon, our deep state. The musician, Sting, is guiding me up higher, in other words, climbing the tree. Looking down, it seemed to be at minimum 500 feet to the ground below. And I moan to myself as the feeling of vertigo rushes over me for a few seconds. Sting points my attention to a small window on a mansion-sized treehouse-like structure perched in the top centered limbs just above us. So now we're looking for the top of the tree. Ezekiel 17 comes to mind, right? The tippy top of the tree. The leadership, right? We want to go and look and see who the leadership of this corrupt tree is, right? So the sting needs to identify who is at the top of this criminal organization, and it will. And they've got all the evidence. They're going to start flooding the place with evidence. Then we begin to ascend stealthily up towards the window, and that's the last thing I remember. Okay, well, we know who's up there, don't we? We will see, right? Okay. And that's pretty neat. Yes, I know. They have stung them good. I mean, they have it all to be revealed. Now, of course, the stupid demons always just say, we didn't do anything. Where's your evidence? It's dumb. Anyway, we call this one timeline. Be ready. Matthew Stewart got this on 1/1/21. Yes, he did. He said, while I was having the dream, it was like I knew I wasn't going to remember the dream when I woke up. Because I haven't been remembering any of the dreams I have been getting recently, which I didn't until later that day when I remembered hearing the Lord's voice. The dream started like this. We, all of UBM, were in our usual meeting, and everyone was sitting in their usual spot. David was giving a message about timing and how things might come to pass. I don't remember what timing David was talking about, but I think that the Lord did that on purpose. And he puts a smiley face there. I was feeling in the dream like, oh, well, that won't come to pass. And another timing thing, it probably won't happen. That's what he felt in the dream. I felt that there were others out there that were thinking the same thing. So this was all in the dream, right? Because it probably is speaking to a lot of people, I bet. And after thinking that, there was nothing but white around me. Nothing but white around me. Everything else was gone. And I knew that the Lord was right next to me. Then he spoke to me and said, it will happen soon. The feeling I got after he said this was that it will happen right after David's timing. And then he said, you better be ready. And he puts in parentheses spiritually. Then the dream ended. Well, I believe that the Lord hides his timing, as he says, but we have seen his sequence of events very well. We're able to read the times, the signs of the times, And we know that we're in those times, and we can look out there and see the fulfillment of the types and shadows in the Scriptures. And, of course, the Lord himself will show the beginning and the end. He will show the time of the end of this thing. And we will see when we get there. But he continues to show us the sequence of events in the happenings of history. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. How much have you learned, you know, over the years by the happenings of history and what the Lord says is coming? How much have you learned, and how much have you grown, and how much are you ready to meet the Lord? It's an awesome thing that he is revealing to us. Praise be to God. And he said, you better be ready. You know, a lot of people are very distracted with the world. They want you to tell them a day and an hour, so that they can get ready at the last minute. God doesn't want that, and he doesn't believe in that. They are distracted with the world, and they would rather just continue on like they are and wait till the last minute and then try to get ready. But it doesn't happen. They don't get ready, because you have to get ready during all of this time. We have to redeem the time that we're in right now. We can't waste it on the world or worldly things or love of the things of the world or politics or whatever. We can't waste our time. Remember the parable of the sower. It was the seed of the word that was sown in a person's heart that brought forth the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. But 3 out of 4 heard the word and didn't bear fruit, because they weren't concentrating on making the word their life. They weren't assimilating the word. They may have been assimilating knowledge, but assimilating the word is becoming who the word is. And what we must do at this time is run after God to make sure that we are chosen in the bride. God can do a quick work. He definitely can. As much as we turn over to him, he can do something with it. But if we say that these other things are more important, he knows that. When you read the Song of Solomon, you find that the 60 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number were distracted by the world. And they thought the bride was a fanatic. She was running everywhere looking for her Lord. She was a fanatic. And the Lord loved that. She was the Shulamite, the perfected one, because she was running after the Lord. And they were pretty ho-hum. Probably caught up in their religion, probably trusting in their religion to keep them, you know, probably thinking we're okay because we're filled with the Spirit of God and we do this and we do that and so on, you know, whatever. But they're still distracted by the world. If we knew that the only thing that's important and the only thing that we've really been put here on earth to do is to sow the seed of the Word of God in our heart to bear the fruit, we would understand that seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness should be above all things, as he told us. Many people want to go out there and get to work, you know, and, you know, we all been called to do different things to prepare for these things that God is doing, and that's good. And we've been faithful in doing the things that the Lord wants us to do to get ready and to get prepared for a great harvest. We've been told it's kind of like the Joseph's silos that were being filled for the days of the famine, right, to keep God's people alive. And, of course, he's told us that's why we're doing this. This is why we're making the videos and the audios and the books and all this stuff, is to get them out to people, to preserve them through the days ahead. So, that's all good. But you know one thing you have to do? Jesus said the most important thing every day is you got to get the board out of your eyes so you can see clearly, get the mote out of your brother's eye. In other words, we all seek the Lord first and put him first in everything. Yes, we have ministries that are good, that are profitable, that reach out to multitudes of people. That's great. We need all that. But number one, everything we do is seeking first the kingdom of God, not getting distracted by anything. Thank you, Father, that you're doing your wondrous work in our midst, Lord. Thank you for granting repentance. Thank you that the battle is a foregone conclusion, Lord. You've already showed us the battle over and over and over, and our faith should be totally in you and your mighty army that is going to conquer the faction in the church and in the government and in the world. Lord, you've got something coming that's right on time. Nobody can figure out the time. That kind of sounds familiar. You like to hide your timing, but you've got something that's going to shake all nations and overthrow the throne of kingdoms, like was said in Haggai when the man-child came in Haggai. Overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And now you tell us, you better be ready. You better be ready. It's coming soon. He said it will happen soon. You better be ready. Amen. I agree 100%. And thank you, Father, for drawing us unto yourself, granting us repentance from all the idols that want to pop up in the world to distract us. The devil, you know, tries his best to distract us with things that we think are important, but there's really only one thing important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Yes, Lord, that's what we desire. We ask you to work it in our hearts. We ask you to draw us and work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And yes, we speak the end from the beginning. Our Father taught us this is how it works in the kingdom. This is how you walk in the Spirit. You speak the end from the beginning. We speak the end of the deep state. We cast down this criminal system, this satanic criminal system, and all of the criminals that they brought into their satanic cult and sacrificed babies and sacrificed children and sacrificed women and all these things. Lord, we cast all that down. We ask that every bit of that be uncovered and be seen, and that all the witches out there are not going to be able to do that, to cover it up. They are not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And we speak, your kingdom will crush all these things that must be shaken. And your kingdom will preserve those who have moved out of the kingdom of this world and moved into the kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken. Receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's what you tell us. You better be ready. Receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Yes, indeed, Lord. That's what we desire. That's what we want. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak in some cases. We ask you, Lord, to work in all of us to will and to do of your good pleasure, to give your grace, pour out your grace. Yes, Jacob is small. How shall he stand? The church is not ready. I believe that the bride and the man-child are almost ready. But this is a trial at the beginning of the tribulation that is to prepare them to be the teachers and the moms of the church during the tribulation. So, Lord, we can see your plan. It is very beautiful. It's very awesome. It shows your love for your people. Lord, we speak deliverance to the children out there of all the moms and dads that are listening. We speak deliverance to them. We command them to come out of the world. We command their eyes to be opened, their consciences to be sharpened, that they know you, that they run after you, and that they're prepared. If not now, in the tribulation. It will be done. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you that nothing that is hidden will stay hidden. It will all be revealed. We thank you, Father, for revealing the wickedness of the wicked and delivering your people. And we ask you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. We speak it so. We know it will come to pass. We decree it in Jesus' name. And we send forth the angels to bring it to pass, as you have taught us. Angels, go and bring down this evil kingdom. Go and cast it down to the ground. Go and reveal all the politicians and all the Hollywood and all the mega corporation leaders and all the people that the deep state knew they needed to rule this world. Lord, reveal it all. Lord, we can see even now politicians running the other way. They're getting out of the business, and they've seen the handwriting on the wall. And we've seen leaders of corporations just suddenly drop them and walk away. And Lord, this is because they know what's going on. They've got a little bit of sense, and they know what's going on. They've seen the handwriting on the wall, and they know you're coming after them. So we thank you, Father, for bringing down the mainstream media false prophet. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. We thank you for replacing it with something that is not going to stranglehold your people and the conservatives too. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, and we also decree that the mainstream media is revealed as being in this cult too, because they are. And we thank you for casting down Satan. He thought he was going to exalt his throne above the stars of God, which Abraham was told are his children, the stars of God. And yet Satan is being cast down to the earth. And he is under the feet of them who walk by faith in you, Lord. He is under the feet, according to Ephesians. Under the feet. Lord, we thank you that he is under our feet. And yes, the people of God need to learn very quickly this lesson, or he will stomp on their heads. Thank you, Father, that you'll motivate them very quickly to come to you and to draw close to you and to be overcomers and realize the opportunity that we have to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The opportunity that we have, not by our works or our power or anything like that, but because we have faith in you. We see the end from the beginning. We see Jesus in the mirror, and we claim that is our right. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. In the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Reconciliation has been made. We now live the life of Christ. We've been delivered from the life of man and from the sin. And we now live the life of Christ because of what Jesus has done at the cross. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this victorious message. Thank you that the real good news is getting out there. It is getting out there. People are catching on. People are coming to know and understand. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace among your mighty people, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing for each and every one of us to draw us unto you and to deliver us from evil and from idols. Lord, at this time, so many of your people are caught up into just paying so much attention to politics. The most important pastime to most people now to, of course, escape this satanic cult that's taken over planet Earth. And it is important. But we should be careful that we seek you first and your kingdom first. And don't be distracted by these things. These are the days. These are the days that you're going to choose your bride and your man-child. And these are a people that will escape tribulation, not by flying away, but because they're overcomers. They've been tested and overcome. And so thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. And God bless you and keep you and keep us in your prayers. And we'll do the same for you. Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night.